Buckle up, friends, and welcome to the Thriving Alcohol-Free Podcast. I'm your host, Deb, otherwise known as Mocktail Mom, a retired wine drinker that finally got sick and tired of spinning on life's broken record called Detox to Retox. Let this podcast be an encouragement to you if alcohol is maybe a form of self-care for you, where you find yourself dragging through the day waiting to pour another glass. I am excited to share with you the fun of discovering new things to drink when you aren't drinking and the joy of waking up each day without a hangover. It is an honor to serve as your sober fun guide, so sit back and relax or keep doing whatever it is you're doing. This show is produced for you with love from the great state of Kentucky. Thanks so much for being here and big time cheers. Okay, hey friends, it's Deb. Welcome back to Thriving Alcohol Free. I am so excited today because what I get asked about a lot is about non-alcoholic beers. I get asked about non-alcoholic wines, not just mocktails. But today we are diving into the world of non-alcoholic beers. I have a very special guest for you, Jordan Shippey from BrewDog. He has a background in the craft beverage industry for over a decade. He's worked for several different esteemed breweries, such as Avery, Great Divide, Harpoon, and now he is with BrewDog. He is joining me from Denver, Colorado, in the podcast, Thriving Alcohol Free. Jordan, how are you? Nice to see you today.
Doing great. Thank you for having me. Very excited to get in touch with your audience here.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you. You know, it is something I get asked about a lot, non-alcoholic beers. You know, what can I drink when I'm not drinking? And just to be able to connect with you, because BrewDog has been on the cutting edge of the non-alcoholic beer space way before, you know, many, many other companies have hopped on. So BrewDog's been around, what, since 2007, right? You guys started in Scotland, is that right?
Yep, in Aberdeen, Scotland, and that's still where our headquarters is, in Ellon, Scotland. Haven't been there personally, but okay. We've got now several headquarters all over the world, including Berlin, Germany, Australia, and now in Columbus, Ohio for the last several years.
Okay. And I don't live too far from Columbus. I'm in Kentucky, so I'm just kind of down the road, so to speak. But the next time I get up there, I have to get into, okay, you have the tap room, you have a hotel there, is that right? And the brewery in Columbus?
Yeah, that's kind of the main draw of our headquarters there, is the hotel faction of it. So it's kind of a boutique sized hotel, but you can stay literally in the brewery. Your rooms open right up into our barrel aging facility. So you get a nice waft of fresh oak and sour beers in the morning. And then in your room, when you check in or when you book your room, they'll ask you if you'd like anything on tap in the kegerators in the room. They'll fully stock a mini fridge that's built into the wall of your shower for your shower beers. So
No.
So we like to have a good time out there for sure. And then, of course, there's the brewery operations headquarters right there built into the building as well. So there's a great tour you can take while you're there, and then a full restaurant and bar with shuffleboard and arcade games and you name it. So we like to make it a one-stop shop since it's a little outside the downtown area of Columbus. If you're out there, we like to make sure that you've got no shortage of fun things to do while you're on campus.
On campus. That is so cool. Okay. So wait, so you could I do like a non-alcoholic, like come into the hotel and have that in my shower, have that in the kegerator. What did you call it? Kegerator?
Yeah, there's a little kegerator in the room, so that'll hold a little pony keg. And so you can request a specific beer be put on tap when you make your reservation. And then we always have the mini fridge stocked that's built into the wall of the bathroom shower. And so you can request anything specifically you'd like in there. And that would include our non-alc lineup, really the whole lineup. I think there's already typically a few offerings that we put in there in every room. So luckily, you know, if you are just visiting and wanted to stay sober throughout the trip, then that should be an option, even in the room, the mini bar, as it were. So
this is a dream come true. Okay. I am so excited. I have to get up there. Okay. I'm very excited to hear that. I did not know those details about the room and the shower. Very cool. Bathroom. Gotta be able to drink in the bathroom. Yes. All right. So let's get into it. Can we talk about like the magic behind non-alcoholic beers and how this happens? Can you tell us a little bit about how they're made, how it's created?
Yeah, I think that's something that, as we see this boom in consumers jump into the category, that is less talked about. Some suppliers keep their cards pretty close to the chest on their methods, but it's relatively simple. there's several different ways to make it, and there's several different methods that you can combine if you like. As far as our methods go, we use a biological method that involves basically an altered malt build. So we use malts that have different enzymes that are broken down during the fermentation process. And so they don't result in the end product of ethyl alcohol. That's one of the many methods to make it. There's also vacuum distillation and dilution. And there's several different ways you can modify the ingredients that you use in order to create a low alcohol or non-alcoholic product in the end. So it okay. really depends based on the brewery, what type of product first and foremost you're trying to produce, whether it's a fully non-alcoholic product or whether it's a low ABV, you know, under 0.5% product. And that's an important distinction depending on where you are in the world. Some countries use those interchangeably, like the US. Non-alcoholic and alcohol-free essentially means the same thing out here in the US. But abroad, where we have several bars, and we talked a little bit about some of our bars in India, you know, they require fully alcohol-free products. And so that would be less than 0.05% alcohol. So that will sometimes dictate the type of method that you use to create your product, because some of them can't fully achieve that fully alcohol-free product in the end. For our processes, we stick to a recipe that results in a product less than 0.5% alcohol, so technically non-alc, okay. and that's where most of our products fall. And again, we use more of a biological method to achieve that, but there are some more mechanical methods that you can use with advanced technology that's come about over the last few years to really make sure that the product is fully alcohol-free, and that would fall under the same category as, you know, apple juice or Listerine, you know. So there's okay. different distinctions, again, depending on where you live and what the laws and what the legalities are and the definitions that particular locality uses.
It is interesting, especially as the non-alcoholic space or the alcohol-free space or the whatever, any space, whatever you want to call it, as it continues to grow, having those definitions and really knowing, like, okay, what does that mean? So, like, right, if you're here in the United States and you're picking up a non-alcoholic drink, it can be right under 0.5% is considered non-alcoholic. But in India, it wouldn't be, correct?
Correct. And in most places in Europe, they have the alcohol-free distinction. So
okay.
you know, they have both products that fit those different definitions. However, that distinction is made more clear abroad than it is here. So there are places that will specifically designate alcohol-free products as opposed to non-alcoholic products where, you know, technically if you drank 100 of them, you would feel the effects of the alcohol versus something that's alcohol-free, less than 0.05%. You know, they obviously want to differentiate between those two different categories.
Yeah, yeah. To me, when I say non-alcoholic, even though it's, you know, under 0.5%, I'm not getting drunk on it. I'm not even getting a buzz, nothing. You know, it's like, right, like if you're Listerine or a banana probably has more alcohol than a non-alcoholic beer. But it is interesting because there are some people who are, and what to each his own, you know, if somebody's not comfortable with that, then they need to have something that's an alcohol-free option, definitely.
Absolutely. And again, you know, with the consumer habits being different in Europe and being a little bit more developed on that category, you mm-hmm. have a lot of younger groups that are more accustomed to drinking within that category. So folks that are under 18 and under 21 in whatever localities have that as the legal drinking age, they sometimes will grow up drinking non-alcoholic beer at dinner with their parents who are drinking fully alcoholic wine or beer. So it's just kind of a different cultural dynamic than there is here in the US, where obviously because of prohibition, our viewpoint on that has been altered quite a bit over the last 100 years. So now that we're kind of coming back around to that category and we're seeing so much innovation in there, I think you're going to see more people try to understand the distinction, the differentiation between alcohol-free, non-alcoholic. And I also think you'll see a difference in, I would say, evolved viewpoints on drinking within that category over the next several years. We're already seeing some of it now with this major boom, but certainly over the next few decades, I expect our perception of drinking non-alcoholic beer to be vastly different than it has been over the last 100.
Totally agree. No, I totally agree. And I've seen that just in the last 3 years of being living an alcohol-free lifestyle. I mean,
in the very beginning, I think the majority of like the response I would get, you know, when I was drinking a non-alcoholic wine or something was, you know, why? And I even thought the same thing, like, why? Why am I buying this? You know, what's the point, kind of? Where I right. think like what you said, like the viewpoints are definitely evolving and people are realizing like, you know, maybe even just to have something in between their cocktails or in between their full-leaded, you know, beer, to have alcohol-free options or non-alcoholic options.
Certainly. And I think you'll see, you know, the occasions that people break those out in are changing as well. I mean, obviously I'm in an industry where it's more commonplace for people to enjoy a beer in a work setting, but you'll see people in a 9 a.m. meeting break out a non-alcoholic beer. And when you see that on a Zoom meeting, that can be a little jarring at first, but you know, essentially the viewpoints on that within the industry are changing a little bit as well. And, you know, people are realizing they can pulse that into their normal drinking habits as well, just to be a little healthier, or if they have to drive, you know, there's several different occasions where people are becoming more, I don't know if the word is really sober curious, but certainly non-alc curious. And we're seeing kind of this emerging subcategory of non-alc drinkers that are regularly mixing that in with their fully alcoholic beverages as well. So
totally. I love that, non-alcoholic curious. Yeah, because it's maybe it isn't about sobriety, or it's just about having those options. It's funny that you like opening up a can on a Zoom, you know, at 9 a.m. I actually picked up my daughter from an event in the evening, and I kid you not, I was drinking a hazy AF in the car. You know, and I thought, okay, if I got pulled over, I'm like, well, it says non-alcoholic. Yeah, like it's that feeling of like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm doing something wrong, but it's just a non-alcoholic beer. Tastes delicious. Yeah,
and you know, some of that ties to the taboo nature of alcohol consumption in general that we have in the US that's a little bit less prevalent in other countries, especially out in Europe where we started. You know, that extends to the non-alc category too. There's kind of this taboo perception that there is alcohol in it, but it's just low alcohol, when in reality, you know, like we talked about, you would need 100 of them really to feel any effects of it. So I think it's going to become more normalized, like drinking a Diet Coke or something.
Totally. You
know, especially with the lower calorie intake that you'll see in most of these non-alc products, just as a healthier alternative for someone who likes the taste of beer, doesn't want the effects, you know, during the middle of a work day or after a workout or something like that. You know, it's a great alternative that I think is going to become more commonplace for sure.
Definitely. Okay. So you talked a little bit about like the trends. So do you see, in terms of just even like your own business, I know obviously can't give numbers or whatever, but like, is it a fast growing part of BrewDog, the non-alcoholic space? Or what do you see in terms of like when you reach out to your customers, your customer base?
Well, it's interesting with me being based in Colorado in the Southwest out here, these are all new markets for BrewDog. So most of the engagement that a lot of these customers have had with our brand has been through the non-alc category first and foremost. So with us having such a diverse lineup within that category, you'll see most retailers out this way are looking for innovation in that space. And we've luckily had a product line to be able to service that need. But we're also in much more robust craft beer, fully alcoholic craft beer markets. So there's a lot of local competition. And so that's been a niche that we've been able to take advantage of in terms of launching and growing our brand out in these new spaces. So yeah, I think it's one of the few bright spots really in the craft beer industry right now. There's been a lot of stagnation and decline in the craft beer industry as a whole right now. A lot of suppliers and breweries are seeing a major slowdown in the consumption of you know, fully alcoholic products, especially beer. And so having a product lineup like that services a new emerging category is of the utmost importance in an industry as volatile as the one we're seeing right now. So we've been fortunate to already have that built into our brand image, but you're going to see for sure throughout 2024 and beyond, so many more suppliers that have never dabbled in that category diving in finally. And you're going to see a lot of innovation as a result. But, you know, that's been one of the great things about BrewDog out West, especially, is that's something we've already really, that's typically what we launch a market with first and foremost out here. When we open up a new state distribution network, that's typically the first thing that we add to the portfolio with our distributors. So really? We're seeing tons of growth. Yeah. And
awesome.
Again, with an industry that's seeing very little growth, that category in particular is expected to grow exponentially over the next few years. It's already worth about $11 billion. And I think the expectation at the end of this year is that it'll be worth over $25 billion. So
Whoa.
It is exploding in every regard. And that's not just non-alcoholic beer, of course, that's spirits and wine. And we're seeing so much innovation within all subcategories of the alcohol industry. So it's a great thing to see because it's been really a bright spot in an otherwise, you know, kind of dismal market for the last couple of years. Ever since COVID, we're seeing a lot of change in consumer habits.
That's good. Yeah, that's really, yeah. Well, yeah, COVID was just about the final nail in the coffin for me with my wine drinking. Literally, the last day of 2020 was my first day alcohol free because it was just like, I can't take it anymore. Like it was like, okay, it's 2 o'clock. Let's pour the wine. You know, I can't live like this anymore, you know?
Well, so you're of course not alone in that. Yeah. I think that was a massive recalibration for a lot of people was going through a year of shutdowns and really just flipping everyone's normal health and wellness habits upside down for that long. It brought a lot of people. It was sort of a come to Jesus moment for several people. And that's not just folks that wanted to go fully sober like yourself, but for a lot of people that realized this is not a healthy way to live, you know, to be drinking earlier on in the day and more throughout the day. And so now we're seeing, especially with the younger generations that are becoming legal enough to drink. There's almost this newfound built-in health and wellness component to the way people think about drinking alcohol. And so younger generations are way more promiscuous in their drinking habits when it comes to non-alcoholic products in general. And that health and wellness component it's a big, big factor. And especially out here in Colorado or out west in California, you know, it's no secret that that's a little bit more built into the lifestyle. So it serves us well when we distribute our products in those areas. But I think really nationwide and worldwide, ever since COVID, the consumer habits have changed so drastically that it's impossible to ignore at this point.
I love that what you said, promiscuous in their non-alcoholic drinking habits. That's the best way to put it, right? It's a beautiful way to put it. But it's true. I think they're much more, way more open to alcohol-free options. And it's just the health and wellness life, you know, lifestyle. Yeah.
Yeah. And part of that, especially here in Colorado, where you have several hundred craft breweries all over the state, really well-recognized brands making great liquid, the consumer here was maybe a little bit more receptive to those categories at the onset. And so they were already used to being a promiscuous craft beer drinker. And so they would go to a brewery and get a flight of beer and try 5, 6, 7 things during their visit, or go to a tap room and try several different local beers that they had never had. I think that translated well to the boom of non-alcoholic products because they already had this sort of built-in mindset of, I want to try something new. And so that's helped quite a bit. And then you add that, of course, to the more health conscious, you know, lifestyle that you see out here in places like Colorado and the mountains, things like that. So that's been sort of an easy segue, I think, for a lot of people into the category. But we're seeing more and more of that in plenty of places that don't have as robust a craft beer market as well.
Kentucky.
Like Kentucky, yeah.
Seriously.
and you know, now that there's spirits and wine options on that side of things too, it's not just O'Doul's like it was for almost 100 years. That was really like the only major commercially accessible option. And so now with hundreds of options and retailers that are finding it impossible to ignore these trends, you're going into a local liquor store that used to carry nothing in the non-alc segment. And now they've got a full door of their cooler dedicated to it. And so I think it's a great thing. It's a great thing because it's really, you know, like we talked about, making it a little bit less taboo, the idea of dabbling in non-alcoholic consumption.
Yep. I love it. Actually, the first day I was alcohol free. So yeah, it was New Year's Eve and I went to Total Wine and I hadn't been a beer drinker before. I am more of a beer drinker now than I was when I was drinking alcohol. I was a wine drinker. But BrewDog's been at Total Wine since the non-alcoholic has been right there next, you know, near the O'Doul's. But that was all I thought there was. I thought the only option. That certainly is not the case. Okay, as you guys know, I love Giessen 0% wines. Their Sauvignon Blanc is my go-to on a regular basis, but they recently launched a delicious Sparkling Brut 0%, which is quickly becoming a fan favorite. I am so proud to have Giessen as the exclusive non-alcoholic wine sponsor of the Thriving Alcohol-Free Podcast. Giessen 0% wines are created through the magic of advanced spinning cone technology to remove the alcohol from their full-leaded wines. The award-winning winemaker Duncan Schuler and his team have done wonders in Marlborough, New Zealand by creating an entire family of 0% wines with all the flavor and deliciousness you expect from traditional, quote, full-leaded wine. Their non-alcoholic wines maintain the aroma and the body to create a low-calorie wine that never contains more than 0.5 ABV. Globally available, look for Giessen 0% wines wherever you shop for your non-alcoholic options. Their family of alcohol-free wines include the most effervescent member of the family, the Sparkling Brut 0%, which is absolutely delicious for any celebration. My personal favorite, although I do love them all, is the Sauvignon Blanc, coming in at only 100 calories for the entire bottle. And not to be missed, the other members of their 0% family, the Riesling, the Premium Red Blend, the Rosé, the Pinot Gris. With Giessen 0% wines, there's a de-alcoholized wine for everyone and every occasion. Give Giessen a try and let me know how much you love it. And if you want to meet their winemaker, go back to episode 33 of the podcast where Duncan Schuler joined me to share about the Giessen story. Okay, so for people though who are in smaller markets, here at least here in the U.S., how can we encourage maybe these smaller shops to carry like a non-alcoholic BrewDog or, you know, to bring in more? How can we encourage them to get their distributors to have more non-alcoholic options? Like I know Total Wine has like 3 shelves now and that keeps growing, so which is wonderful.
Yeah, and it's sometimes tough with these smaller liquor stores and retailers. Space is always at a premium, and especially with the growing full-strength craft beer revolution, if you will, it's been really tough playing Tetris to find space for any new brands or suppliers in general. But I think, again, with the way the consumer trends are looking over the last 4 or 5 years especially, it's impossible to ignore. So I think going into any of your local stores and asking the proprietor at that store, you know, this is, I shop here every week and this is what I'm looking for. And do you have any idea how to get a hold of it? Obviously, we're not in every state as a supplier, but there are options in every state. So you're going to see more and more of that throughout this year and beyond. But I think just asking your retailer to bring something in, usually if they have a regular that's asking for something, it's a pretty easy sell for them. And they have relationships with 5, 6, 10, 20 distributors. So they usually should be able to find whatever product you're looking for. If it's distributed in that state, it shouldn't be too difficult to bring it into any retailer, I would think.
That's great advice. Okay, that's great advice. Yeah, because for many of us, you know, we're in smaller cities and it's like you go in, actually Kroger here, which is a big grocery store, and we just opened up a new wine, and they opened up a new wine and spirit shop, and I went in and they only had one non-alcoholic wine, one brand. And I was like, what is going on here? You know, and I know they carry other ones in their other shops. So I did. I went and talked to the manager, you know, just like, hey, you know, you'll be seeing me regularly, but, you know, can we carry a couple? And I gave him a couple of, you know, other names or whatever. But yeah.
It's a little bit of a slower process with the larger chains like that. The cogs move a little slower in terms of bringing in new innovative pieces, but we are seeing major national and international chains coming around to that idea. They're asking for those products. So as a sales force, you know, at BrewDog, we're constantly pitching those to the large groups like Kroger's and Safeway's, and they're always looking to, you know, respond to the trends because those major chains are always numbers driven. So this is one of the few categories where it's impossible to ignore any longer. And I think at the local level with the smaller retailers, it's going to be much quicker, much easier to be able to bring in new products that you're looking for. So if you have something in mind, I always recommend going into the retailer and just, you know, striking up the conversation because typically it's pretty easy. But if there's a specific product, most supplier websites will have a product finder for you. And so you can type in your zip code. They can tell you where to find it near you. BrewDog has that for both our full strength and our non-alcoholic products. So I encourage people who are looking specifically for BrewDog non-alcs or full strength to go to our website and you can type in your locality. It'll tell you some of the places that carry it nearby. But if they don't, as long as we do already distribute in that state, typically it's pretty easy to find a way into your local store.
Okay, good. Oh, that's so good to know. Okay, I want to talk about a little bit about, like you mentioned, you know, how you can ask for flights and stuff of, you know, beers. So if somebody wanted to try BrewDog, because I know like at Christmas, you guys had this awesome box. What was it like 12 beer, 12 non-alcoholic beers?
Yeah.
It was so cool. And it was such a fun way to try, you know, different non-alcoholic beers. So is there a flight like that year round that people can try? Is that considered a flight or a box like that? A multi-pack box?
Variety pack. Yeah. We don't, We don't do that year round with 12 different offerings, okay. But we do have the number one non-alcoholic mix pack in the country. It's just called the AF mix pack. And awesome. So you can typically find that in Total Wine. I think most of the Total Wines we distribute to, that's the best selling item in our non-alcoholic portfolio. And it's a great way to showcase the different styles that we brew in that category. So, you know, we do obviously plenty of IPAs, and we have a full lineup within our core portfolio of full strength IPAs in different subcategories. And so we've mimicked that in our non-alcoholic portfolio as well. So there's essentially, if you're familiar with any of our brand as a drinker, whether it's our Elvis Juice or our Hazy Jane, you know, our two big flagship beers, you can find non-alcoholic versions of that. And so it's an easy segue for a lot of consumers who are, again, looking to either pace themselves, pulse that into their normal drinking habits. It's a familiar ground for a lot of folks because they're already aware of the flavor profile from our full strength lineup. And they know, well, I've got a non-alcoholic counterpart to that I can grab at any local store as well.
That's so awesome. Both
of those are part of our non-alcoholic mix pack. And that's, again, a great way to just kind of dabble in a few different offerings just to see how wide ranging the flavor profiles can get within that category. And of course, that's not all that we do, that 12 non-alcoholic beers of Christmas. That is a great way to showcase our innovation as well, because, you know, it's not just four offerings that we do year round. We constantly are breaking out seasonals, limited time offerings, things like that, most of which have only been available via e-commerce through our website. But several states allow us to ship directly from the brewery. So if one of your states allows that, then you can always go to our website and just have it shipped out. And because it's not a non-alcoholic product, there's less legal red tape for a lot of places to be able to allow that to happen. So if you can't find it in your local neighborhood, then specifically with the non-alcoholic products, just check out our website. You might be able to just get it shipped directly to your house.
Awesome. That's awesome. Okay. Do you have a favorite of the non-alcoholics? Do you have a favorite in the lineup, Jordan? What would you recommend? Where would you recommend people to start? If you were putting a flight in front of them, where would you say to start?
Well, certainly with our lineup, my favorite is the Wake Up Call. It's a coffee stout non-alcoholic that we do. And it's a seasonal. So this is actually our current non-alc seasonal. And it's funny because when I am drinking full strength beers, stouts are typically not my go-to style. But for some reason, it just hits the spot, especially first thing in the morning. That's why we call it the wake up call.
It's supposed to
sort of feel like a coffee. And so I love that one. The flavor profiles on it is great. There's, you know, chocolate notes, there's coffee notes, really easy drinking. Again, that's one of the more interesting ones that we do as a seasonal, but I really like the Guinness 00 that they came out with recently. I think they did an excellent job with that too. So there's so many great ones that are coming out now that taste like real beer and really give you that feeling. So it's almost no commitment to, you know, throw that into the lineup every now and again.
Absolutely. Yeah. Somebody, I've heard a lot of chatter about Blue Moon recently. They're non-alcoholic. In the summer, Corona. I hear a lot about Corona, non-alcoholic. Mm-hmm. So it's fun. It's fun. There's so many different ones to try. And like you said, like so many different, and now the bigger players are coming into the market.
Everyone's coming in.
Everybody's like, oh, wow, the party's over here. The party's in this room. We better get in there. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it may be a little late to the game for some of these folks, but at the same time, you know, strike while the iron's hot. The category is on fire right now. It's one of the only growing categories that we're seeing in the entire industry.
Cool.
So yeah, a lot of suppliers are, and you know, with the methods that are used to make them, often you don't need to alter your brewing equipment at all. So that's the other nice thing is depending on the type of product you're looking to make, it may not require any significant investment in new technology and new equipment within your brew house. So it's quite easy just to alter recipes to be able to provide these products. So you're going to see a lot of suppliers, you know, start to experiment on that side of things this year.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Okay, before we go, okay, so you have an AFNA certification. Is that right? Do I have that right? Before we go, can you tell everybody what an AFNA certification is? Because you're one of the first, BrewDog's one of the first certified, right, in the States?
We were. Our sales team was the first in the world to become certified in the Aficionado program, which is essentially a comprehensive certification program, similar to, if you're familiar with the Cicerone program or the sommelier program. It's very similar in that regard. It was developed by Megan Anderson, who's formerly a Boston Beer Company director of beer education, I believe. I hope I'm getting that title right. And it was developed alongside Keith Villa from Blue Moon. So he left to create Syria, the non-alcoholic brand out here in Colorado. And so they teamed up to create basically an educational certification program for the non-alc category specifically. And so essentially it includes education on the history of non-alcoholic beer, the ingredients involved, the processes and the differentiations between the processes, as well as sensory training, market trends, safe handling practices. It's quite a bit of information, but I think there's a lot of demand for new education within that category. It's all brand new for most people, consumers especially, but a lot of retailers, as they build out those cooler doors and those aisles within their stores, are getting more questions about the products. How are they made? What makes this better than that or different from that? And retailers are more interested in being able to answer those questions now. And so it's a great program that we as a sales force felt was a great leg up for us. Yep. It was a huge advantage within this category. We wanted to be leaders within the category, as you know, we felt we have with the liquid itself for so many years.
Yep.
This was a great way to showcase our investment in the category as well, and our commitment to being leaders and experts for these retailers, for our distributor partners, for the consumers in general. And so we're seeing a lot of retailers at the national level become interested in the certification as well. So Total Wine, for instance, we've discussed with them on how to train their staff and their stores with this educational program. And I've done some educationals with some of my wholesalers just to give them sort of the diluted version of what's going to be valuable to them within the marketplace, so that their reps can go out and speak confidently about the products as well. Because several of our distributors carry not just our own non-alcoholic lineup, but several other suppliers. And so they're getting questions just the same as I am, just the same as any retailer is. And so this program was several hours long. You take a test at the end, like you do with the sommelier and the Cicerone certifications.
Okay.
And once you pass, then you're considered AFNA certified. So,
AFNA. Okay. AFNA. AFNA.
AFNA. Yeah. And so
I love it.
Yeah. So it's very comprehensive. It takes a lot of time to discuss the differentiations between AF and NA as well. But it's a great program that, you know, is just kind of getting off the ground now. And I think a lot of suppliers are seeing the value in something like this. And so several other suppliers are diving in to get certified over the course of this year as well.
That is so awesome. That's awesome. It has been such a delight to have you on today. You are just a wealth of information. Thank you for sharing so much with our listeners. I really am so thankful for your time.
I'm more than happy to do it. I appreciate you sitting down with me and, you know, just talking about the importance that we place as a company on the educational component of this category. I think is just as important to get in front of the consumers directly like this and provide some of that information, because again, it's all new for you, for me, for every consumer out there, and most of the suppliers and distributors too. So it's great just to be able to get some of the information out and, you know, be able to provide some of these curious minds a little bit of context to what they're drinking and provide them some of the tools to be able to make the decisions out there at the retail level.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay. For the listeners, if you would like to follow Jordan at you can follow BrewDog. BrewDog USA is on Instagram, BrewDog USA. And then Jordan's Instagram handle is shipwrecked17. I'll put it in the show notes, shipwrecked17. I'll put that in the show notes as well so everybody can follow along. But Jordan, thank you. Thank you for your time. And thanks to BrewDog for being a leader in the non-alcoholic beer space. Really, really appreciate all that you guys are doing to support those of us who are looking for options.
Happy to do it and full steam ahead. So I'm looking forward to what the next few years hold for us.
It's going to be crazy town. Buckle up. We all have to buckle up.
Buckle up, everybody.
Big time cheers to you for tuning in to the Thriving Alcohol Free Podcast. I hope you will take something from today's episode and make one small change that will help you to thrive and have fun in life without alcohol. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social, send up a flare, or leave a rating and a review. I am cheering for you as you discover the world of non-alcoholic drinks and as you journey towards authentic freedom. See you in the next episode.